Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
The thing that I'd like to give you today, I tell people when I was coaching, I see some coaches here, and there was two or three in the first service that I've coached with or in other situations. And if before the game, I know I couldn't sleep. And then if I didn't gag, I know I wasn't ready. Forgive me. Last night, I told Dee about 1 o'clock, well, you pray for me that I can sleep. I couldn't sleep, and I've been gagging all morning. Now, I'm not going to vomit on you. I can't stand the smell of vomit. I'll never forget one time Delenn was vomiting. I was holding her in. I just started vomiting. But I just want you to know I believe the Lord has given me a message to give you. And I just pray that I will decrease, He will increase, and the Holy Spirit will be here. And I'll be able to give you. How many of you want to hear from God today? How many of you want to have an encounter from God? How many of you want to just say, I didn't go to HPC today? Some people call me up sometimes. They say, is Dino preaching? I said, Jesus is going to be here. Is that okay? Thank God we didn't build this house on man. This house is on the man, Christ Jesus. It will stand. I want to speak to you today on God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life. And I'm not here to talk to you about how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and success and significant. I know what 3 John 2 says. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. But I'm concerned about your soul prospering today. That's the thing that's so important to me. You know, it's not a matter of prosperity. You know, so many times the world, prosperity is outside in. But prosperity to us is inside out. It's not a matter of what we possess, but who possesses us. It's not a matter of what we have, but who has a hold of us. So I want to talk to you what the Holy Spirit has given me today and tell you that God's plan for your life is deliverance and preservation. I just really believe in my heart that that's what God wants to give us today. And I hope today that you will be able to understand this and be able to know what I'm talking about. For the word deliverance, it means to set free. It means to liberate. It means to loose. It means to release. It means to redeem. I'm so glad we're redeemed today. It means to rescue. It means to disburden someone. It means to emancipate. And the word emancipate, it means that you will be free of restraint. And it also means that we're going to terminate all control in your life. I'm here to tell you today that if you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit and something else is controlling you, we're not where we need to be. The only thing that should be controlling us, dominating us, should be the Holy Spirit. And I want you to be able to understand that today. You know, say this with me. God loves me so much. Now say this. God loves me so much. He will not leave me the same. I'm believing the Holy Spirit is not going to leave us to be the same. Say this with me. There is a level beyond resurrection. It is life. And life is living in freedom every day. I want you to say this, and this is so important that you get this, for this is what this message is all about. It's not only God's plan for your life is deliverance, but I want you to say this. Say this. This is my day of deliverance. This is my day I'm going to be set free from past sins. This is my day that I'm going to be delivered from guilt. This is my day I'm going to be delivered from the power and the pleasure of sin. This is my day that I'm going to be delivered from even the presence of sin. I thought about great days. Johnny just told you about next week. It's going to be what day? Father's Day. And I don't have to tell you about Mother's Day, the givers of life. Boy, that is a great day. Thought about Memorial Day as a great day where we honor those that have been in service and those that are still serving today. Amen. We honor them today that they are willing to lay down their life that we may have the freedom. I thought about July the 4th where we celebrate Independence Day. But isn't it good to know we celebrated independence from England, but we celebrate dependence upon God. We're weak and we want Him to be strong. We're inadequate and we want Him to be adequate. I thought about D-Day. Boy, that's an important day. 1945, we remember the ending of World War II. I thought about, there's some sad days. 9/11 was a sad day in America. You can remember these days. I thought about the sad day when President Kennedy lost his life. And I remember that day I was at LSU and I got the news and I ran to the field house to watch the news. It was a sad day when Martin Luther King lost his life. It was a sad day on January the 22nd, 1973, when the Supreme Court passed that it's okay to shed innocent blood. That was a sad day. I want you to know there are a lot of sad days, but there were some good days. Somebody even told me that a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. December the 16th was the day I got delivered. I'm talking about deliverance today. December the 6th was the day D got delivered. And Brother Rentz told me, if I forget that day, I'm going to need deliverance. On December the 16th, that was the day my dad died. December the 16th was the day I got married. December the 16th was the day DeLynn and Dino got married. August the 23rd was the day Candace was born. August the 29th was the day DeLynn was born. If you'll notice, it's August. I was a coach. And the coaches used to get mad at me because in August, that was two-a-day practices. And they thought I planned those births so I could get out of practice. But I'm here to tell you, a lot of you can remember some great days. But I want to give you the scripture today and start this message off. In Exodus 13:3. It said this, and Moses gathered all the people together. And this is what he said, remember this day. I want this to be a day that you remembered. Not just a day you went to church, not just a day you showed up, but it's a day that we will remember that we came out from Egypt and out of the house of bondage. For the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out to this place. And then it also goes to say we will not eat the leavened bread or we will not go back to Egypt. We will not go back to bondage. We will not go back to sin. I'm here to tell you today, I'm believing that this is going to be a day that we can remember because the hand of the Lord is what's going to bring us out. And it's not going to bring us out, it's going to bring us to. I started thinking about when Jesus picked up the book. And he read in Luke 4:18, and he was really reading Isaiah 61. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. What has he anointed me for? To preach good news to the poor, those that are left out and those are without. And then to heal the brokenhearted. Isn't it amazing? Today, it's no different from 2,000 years ago. You've got those that are broken and broken more. You've got those that are hurt and hurt more. And what I'm saying to you today, but the anointing of God, the third thing he said was to bring deliverance. Say deliverance. I want you to get that word in your spirit today. I want you to leave knowing it. That it's not just a word, but it's going to be a happening that happened in my life today. And I want you to get this because it will change your life. I started thinking about this. I started thinking about all the things that he said. You know, and it kind of hit me. They were all B's. God came to those that were broke, the poor. He came to those that were broken. He came to the brokenhearted. He came to those that were burdened down. He came to those that were bruised. He came to those that were blind. But isn't it good to know that God knows right where you are today? I tell people when you get old, you get all the B's. You get bald. You get blind. You get bad breath. Sometimes you get boobies. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brother Rentz. You told me I shouldn't have said that. I receive your rebuke. You get bellies. You get bruises. You get bunions. You get all the bees. But let me tell you, God don't put marble on cheap furniture. What I'm trying to say to you today, and that made me feel good. If God comes to the bees, he comes to take care of us old people. Take care of us. But let me tell you, I started thinking about all the people that had an encounter with God. I thought about Adam. He had an encounter with God. He walked with God. He had fellowship with God. But how many of you know the devil is a deceiver? The devil, he's one that wants to deceive you and doom you and destroy you and damn you. He's not in the pinching business. He's in the destroying business. But isn't it wonderful to know that even though he was deceived, that God killed a lamb at the very beginning and covered him. Man's always been in the exposing business, but God has always been in the covering business. Not only does he want to cover our sins, he wants to remove our sin. I think about Noah. He had an encounter with God. And every time I was thinking about all these encounters, the main thing that came up was deliverance. God let Noah build an ark for the deliverance of his family. I thought about Jonah in the belly of a whale. Let me tell you, you learn a lot in the belly of a whale. But isn't it good to know that God delivered him in 3 days? Let me tell you, it's better to smell like vomit than live in the belly of a whale and die. And the point I'm trying to tell you, he delivered him. I thought about Moses and the children of Israel. It's all about deliverance. I thought about Daniel. He delivered him from what? The lion's den. I thought about David. He delivered him from the lion, delivered him from the bear. He delivered him when he faced the giant. I'm here to tell you today, I want you to get this in your spirit. He delivered the 3 Hebrew children. He delivered the disciples when he spoke, "Peace, be still," when the storm came against them. He delivered the maniac, and he was clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. And Mary had an encounter with God, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. But I tell you, it wasn't long there was delivery, for the great deliverer came. I'm telling you, Abraham Lincoln may be called the great emancipator, but I'm here to tell you there's a greater one than Abraham Lincoln, and that's the emancipator that wants to deliver you today. There are 4 areas I'd like to look at, and I believe all of us today, you know, Brother Wayne, I want to make sure we touch everybody today, not just 1 or 2 areas, but everybody. The first area that I'd like to touch today is deliverance from past sin. Deliverance from past sin. That's one of the most important areas of deliverance today. Why is that important? For by grace are you saved, not in yourself. It's the gift of God. You see, you may have come into this place and you're not in relationship with God, but you don't have to leave this place not being in relationship. For God says, you have not received the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. I want you to know today that God wants you to be in relationship with him today. I want you to know today that another scripture I want to use is in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, God is not slack that men would count concerning his promises, as some are count slackness. But it says he is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You see, repentance is what God wants us to come to today. Repentance means change of mind. It means change of heart. It means I change my name. I change ownership. I change my destiny. I change my destiny. I change my destination. And I change my purpose in life. But when I begin to look at this, it was like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart a word that I had never known before. Incomplete repentance. Incomplete repentance. And how many of you know that we don't want God doesn't want incomplete repentance. He wants us to have complete repentance. Incomplete repentance is this. See, repentance is a 180. I was going away from God, but now I turn and I go to God. Incomplete repentance is when you were going away from God. Now you go to God. Now you go away from God. Now you go to God and you do a 360. I told somebody, no wonder we're so dizzy. No wonder we're in trouble today. God does incomplete repentance. God doesn't want us to just confess our sin. How many of you know he wants us to forsake our sin? How many of you know that incomplete repentance is when I confess with my mouth, but it never gets to my heart? See, incomplete repentance is selfish grace. Selfish grace? What is selfish grace? God has forgiven me, but I don't forgive. God has loved me, but I don't love. God has shown me mercy, but I don't show mercy. God has accepted me, I don't accept Him. Let me tell you, I wrote a little book called Life for Marriage. And in there is a chapter on forgiveness, restoring life. And I listed 26 things about forgiveness. The whole alphabet. Forgiveness is giving up your right to be right. Forgiveness is taking justice out of your hands and put in your hands. But the other day, I never put this in there. Forgiveness is breathing. I'm living. Unforgiveness is holding your breath. When you hold your breath, you're going to pass out or die. And I thought about little Candace and Delin when they were little babies and they'd start crying, D, and they'd hold their breath. And what did we do to get their breath back? We'd breathe into them and they would start breathing again. I'm telling you, you that are holding your breath today, the Holy Spirit wants to breathe in you so you can have life and you can breathe. You've got to release so you will be released. You see, God today wants to deliver you from past sins so that we will repent, that we will be in relationship, that we will be redeemed. Where you're not redeemed with silver and gold, you're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be reconciled today. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I have reconciled you. We were enemies. Now we're friends. We were incompatible. But now we're compatible. And now I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. And God wants you restored today. You see, when we move and we know that God has delivered us from past sins because we have repented and we have confessed before God, now you are in Christ. And now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has made you free from the law of sin and death. Now you are complete in Christ. And there's nothing beyond. Listen to me. There's nothing beyond to be desired or hoped for. When you've got Christ, you've got everything. So make sure that we understand today, you that have come in this building and you're not in relationship with God, the one and most important deliverance is to be delivered from our past sin so we can be a son. God don't want you to be a servant. He wants you to be a son. He doesn't want you to live out of the house. He wants you to live in the house. He wants the inheritance to be yours. Deliverance from the past sin. The second area I'd like to look at today is this, that we need deliverance. Say, this is my day. My day of what? Deliverance. The second I'd like to give you is the deliverance from guilt. There are so many people today. I deal with so many people that are guilt. They're guilt ridden. They're burdened down with guilt. Whether it's something they did or somebody has done something to them. But I'm here to tell you, God's word says in Romans 3:24. That by His grace, we are justified. And it's a free gift of God through the redemption of Jesus Christ. It was the blood that brought us free from our past sins. It will still be the blood of Jesus Christ that will remove the guilt that we are involved in today. Why? We are delivered from guilt. God doesn't want you to be guilty today. He wants you to come before the high court of heaven and stand before Him. I don't know if any of you today, I don't know how many of you went before a judge before. But I'm going to tell you, that's no fun to go before a judge. I went before a judge one time. I'll never forget it. It was Judge Palazzolo. He was a federal magistrate. Let me tell you, you don't play around with the federal government. And I'll never forget my brother-in-law who was here in the first service. He was working with Governor Davis at that time. And he said, don't worry about it. I got it taken all care of. How many of you know, he didn't have nothing taken care of. And I'll never forget standing before that judge that day. And knowing that ignorance of the law was no excuse. Because they had changed the law. Instead of opening up the whole state of Louisiana for dove season, they had divided it north and south of 190. And we were hunting south of 190 and it wasn't open. North was open. And I'll never forget that day. We had to stand before him. And I said, I fall upon the mercy of this court. And I'll never forget that day when he looked at us and he said, you're going to be sentenced up to a year in jail. And it's going to cost you $100 a bird. And I believe we had 15. Somebody told me that's good enough for you. You shouldn't have been shooting the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, the dove. But I'll never forget when he looked at us and he said, and I was a civics teacher at that time, trying to teach people about the law. Here I am standing before a judge and breaking the law. And I'll never forget that when he looked at it, he said, Mr. Austin, I'm going to suspend your sentence and I'm going to fine you $50. Oh, hallelujah. I looked at my brother. I said, you got $50? I ain't got $50. I still owe him $50 today. I really. But what I'm here today to tell you, God wants you delivered from your guilt. He wants you to stand before the high court of heaven. He wants to look at you and say, you're acquitted. You're not guilty. You know what it means? It also means this, that I accept you. It means not only I accept you, I present you. Romans 5:1, it says we're justified by faith. Where we stand. And it says, then you have access. Say access. We have access into the grace of God, whereby we can rejoice. Why? We've stood before the high court of heaven and he's freed us of guilt. Now, you know, as well as I know, there are consequences for every choice. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. You sow to the spirit, you're going to reap to the spirit. I'll never forget the other day when I was in a prison and I looked at a young man and I told him, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep you out of this jail. But I can keep you out of the eternal jail. I can keep you out of that because you can stand before the high court of heaven and he can say that you're free. I want you to get this today. Say deliverance. God wants you to deliver you of guilt and stand before the high court of heaven. John chapter 8. Isn't that a beautiful story of standing before the judge of all judge? They bring her out. They want to stone her. And Jesus looks and says, you that have no sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. Really what he was probably saying, you that have not been with her, go ahead and cast the first stone. He began to write on the ground and they all left. You know what he probably wrote on the ground? Where's the man? Because under the law, go back and look at it and go back and look at the law. You can't stone the woman unless you stone the man too. So they were getting out of there quick because they didn't want the law because they came there to tell him to fulfill the law. But he stood before the high court of heaven. He said, where are your accusers? Go thy way and sin no more. I'm here to tell you today, God wants you to be delivered from the past sins. But God also wants you to be delivered. What? From the guilt of sin. Because he has paid the price of all and gave his life that we may have life. Say, this is my day of deliverance. The third one I'd like to give you, and this is probably one that is very important in the life of Christians. And I want you to get this. You say, Brother Wayne, you be very careful when you start talking about this one. But I want you to get it. At the very beginning, we're delivered from the power of the past sins. We're delivered from the guilt of sin. But the third deliverance that God wants you to have today is that you are delivered from the power and the pleasure of sin. How many of you know that sin is powerful? How many of you know that pleasure is powerful? God's word says that in the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The thing I'm just trying to tell you today, and I want you to get this, but there is a higher power and there is a higher pleasure. And that is when we come before God. Let me tell you, all of us today, none of us have arrived. None of us have bumper stickers on our car, God's little cherubim of perfection. I don't see a halo in this church today. I don't see wings on anybody's back today. I had a guy the other day, I saw him, he had a shirt, he had wings on the back. I said, you better buy you two. That's as close as you'll get to flying. What I'm saying to you today, I want you to listen to me. If you think you holy, you just hadn't had enough light shine on you. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a difference from a little light shining on you here than the light of all lights when we stand before him today. What I'm saying to you, we all want to be like Abel. and offer the perfect sacrifice. But most of us are like Cain, and we just give God what we think is acceptable. Most of us want to be like Esther and come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But most of us are like Delilah, and we're a deceiver. Most of us want to be like David and have a heart for God. But most of us are like Saul. We're tall in the eyes of the world, but we're small when it comes to obedience. We want to be like Isaiah and say, woe is me, I am undone. But most of us are like Uzziah. We're not satisfied to be the king. Now we want to be the priest too. Most of us want to be like Mary and sit at his feet. But most of us are like Martha. We're worrying about everything. Most of us, we want to be like John and lean upon the breast and know the very heartbeat of God. But most of us are like Peter. We've got our foot in our mouth. Most of us want to be like the last Adam. We want to be victorious, an overcomer, a conqueror. But most of us are like the first Adam. We're running. We're hiding. We're trying to cover ourselves. We're making excuses. And we're blaming everybody. I told him in the first service, you know, everybody gets mad sometimes at God, at the last Adam. Don't never get mad at God or the last Adam. I tell people, if you get mad at God, you don't know God. That'll sink in a little bit. But what I want to tell you, we should get mad at Adam. And you men, you should really be mad at Adam today. You know why you should be mad at Adam today? Because when they sinned, they realized they were naked and they were shameful. And that was the first time a woman looked at Adam and said, looked at man and said, I don't have nothing to wear. I must go shopping. I got to buy some shoes. Give me some money. All of us, that's enough. Don't laugh too long. All of us say deliverance. God wants to deliver us from past. He wants to deliver us from guilt. But listen to me, church. The greatest problem in the world is sin. But the greatest problem in the church today is sin. We don't want to be at peace with sin. We want to be at peace with God. It's very important that we understand this today. And I want you to get, all of us like sheep have gone astray. I love what Brother Mike says. And Brother Johnny just said just a minute ago. We're not perfect. But we are authentic. We're not perfect, but we're forgiven. We're not perfect, but it's direction. And our direction determines our destination. Our destination determines our destiny. Our destiny determines our purpose for God. And that is to glorify God. We sing songs like victory in Jesus, but we're defeated. I'm redeemed, but we're not restored. We sing amazing grace, but we still feel like an old wretch. We sing, my chains are gone, and we do all the gimmicks, but we're still bound and controlled and dominate. We even quote scriptures. I can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that is in me. I am crucified with Christ, but it seems we're swimming and we're drowning. It seems we're redeemed but not restored. It seems that holy is only a word that we know. And we seem like Paul. Wasn't it Paul that said, the one that received the revelation of grace? Wasn't it him that said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do are the things I do. Wasn't it Peter that said, I am a sinful man? These are great men of God. Wasn't it Job that said, I have heard thee, but now I see thee. I hate myself. Wasn't it Daniel that said, I am corrupt? Wasn't it Isaiah that said, woe is me? The point I'm bringing to you today, and I want you to get this. God not only wants us to deliver us from past sin and become in relationship. He wants to deliver us from the guilt of sin. But I'm here to tell the saints today, God wants to deliver you from the power of sin. Romans 6:14 says this, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, you're under grace. You see, it was grace that saved us. It was grace that justified us. I'm here to tell you, it's His grace that will keep you. And no power or pleasure will be more important than pleasing God. I want you to get this and understand this. This is so important. In the word where it says sin, today I want you to put other words today. Not just sin. If it's sin, put it there. It shall not have dominion over me, control over me, or dominate me. For I'm not under law, I'm under grace. I call these the Pharaohs of the world. How many of you know that Pharaoh was a tough taskmaster? How many of you know it took 10 plagues? But the final plague that broke his back was the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of the Lamb, symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ, over the doorpost. You understand what I'm saying. I'm here to tell you today that we may have been aliens and strangers, but now we're made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ because of a better sacrifice. And I want you to get this. The Pharaohs of the world, put in that blank, lust shall not have dominion over me. Flesh shall not have dominion over me. Pride shall not have dominion over me. Unnatural affections shall not have dominion over me. Pain shall not have dominion over me. Anger shall not have dominion over me. Blame, unforgiveness, sorrow, grief, abuse, rejection. It shall not have dominion over me. You know why? Because we serve a greater one than the Pharaoh. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I tell you, Brother Perry, he told us that the lion has his paw on the head of the serpent. Amen. Are y'all getting this today? Or am I just up here in a full court press? I want you to know that God wants to deliver you. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this, "For this is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." I'm here to tell you, don't even pray about it. It's God's will that you be clean, that you be pure, that you be holy. And I'm here to tell you, He's got the grace to remove the power and the pleasure of sin. He has put a seed in you. And now not only are you in Christ, but Christ is in you. Let me go to the next one so I can give you this. This is so important that you understand this. Number one, He has delivered us from the power of sin, past sin. He has delivered us from the guilt of sin. He has delivered us from the power and the pleasure of sin. What I'm just trying to tell you today, we serve a great God today. And He loves you very much. And I want you to know He wants you delivered and He wants you preserved. When I was studying this, I had a dream, and when I was writing that little book, and I was studying, and I had a dream about a church. It was a little bitty church. It was like the House Waltons, or it was like House on the Prairie, one of those little country churches. And when I looked into the church, it was full. And I was trying to find somebody I knew. And I was looking. Did you know that everybody in that little church looked like a mummy? They were just wrapped up, sitting on the pew. I couldn't tell who they were. And I believe what the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. We know that the world is bound, but most of the church is like Lazarus. They're resurrected, but they're still bound. But I'm here to tell you today that you can leave the grave clothes in the graveyard, and you can leave here clothed with His love and His mercy and His grace and His kindness, and you can be delivered from that. Another word came to me was paradise Christianity. Paradise Christianity, what is that? Where were the, before Jesus ascended, He descended. And He led captivity captive. Who was held in paradise? It was the saints. Who was in Egyptian bondage for 430 years? It was the children of Israel. What I'm saying to you, paradise Christianity, is this. We would rather paradise and be bound than to be in the presence of God and be free. For He led captivity captive. No longer is there paradise. Now we're in the presence of God. And now I will show you the path of life. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. And His right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. I want you to know the same word that Moses spoke. You know what he spoke when he came to Pharaoh? And he did it 9 or 10 times. I went back and read it. He told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." How many of you know the Pharaohs of the world don't want to let you go? The world, flesh, and devil don't want to let you go. But I'm here to tell you, there's a greater one. And I believe the same words that he spoke to the children of Israel then, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. And he's saying, "Let my people go. I do not want them controlled by the power and the pleasure of sin. I want them to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit." Let me give you the last one. And the last one is deliverance from the presence of sin. God doesn't want past sins to be in your life. How many of you know if your past is your present, you'll never have a future? Brother Jason, he's always up here and he's telling you, well, when I was doing wrong, I was developing my testimony. I tried to tell him, no, Jason, you were not developing your testimony. You were developing your past. God, we develop our past. God develops our testimony. Our testimonies, we've been redeemed. We've been restored. He's delivered us from the past. He's delivered us from guilt and the power and pleasure of sin. And he will deliver you from the presence of sin. Romans 6:12, it says this, that every one of you, in Romans 6:12, this is so important. Sin, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Something's on the throne in your life. It's going to be God, or it's going to be sin, or it's going to be flesh, or it's going to be the world. But God says, don't let sin. How many of you know, Dee sent me to the store to get 5 pounds of potatoes. And you know, I started to get a bag and I looked and there was a white spot. And I kind of touched it and it was a rotten potato in the bunch. How many of you know, I didn't get that bag of potatoes. How many of you know, it's just like that. Before long, it'll ruin that whole bunch. And what I'm trying to say, God's saying to us today, don't let sin. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm here to tell you today that sin is not acceptable in a sinner's life, and it's sure not acceptable in a Christian's life. But I'm here to tell you, and I want you to get this. So important. I had a guy call me from California the other day. He said, Brother Wayne, I'm in a church. And he said, the pastor told me the other day, when we get saved, we don't have a sin nature anymore. I told him, you better get out of that church. Because you're not in heaven yet. How many of you know there are two types of glorification? One day we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. But I want you to know, God wants you to have an earthly glorification. That we don't let sin reside. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me give you 5 things real quick. 5 things. Say deliverance. Say my day of deliverance. I'm believing this is not just going to be a day you came to church, you came to HBC, but I'm believing it's a day you're going to experience the Holy Spirit. It's a day the anointing of God's going to be upon you. And if you came in and you're not in relationship, you're going to leave relationship. If you came in and the past pleasures and powers are controlling your life, you're going to leave. It's going to be a good day, a day to remember. But let me tell you this. I want you to get this. I'm going to give you 5 reasons real quick. Are y'all with me? Can you handle them? There are 5 ways to stay delivered. Number one, you got to hold on to truth. You got to hold on to truth. If you abide in my word and my word abide in you, you shall know the what? The truth, and the truth shall set you free. You are bound to free, directly proportional to your knowledge of truth. What if I get sick and I don't know that with his stripes we're healed? What if I get confused and I don't know that God's not the author of confusion? He's the author of peace. What if somebody tells me I'm cursed and I don't know that in Galatians 3:13, he says he has redeemed us from the curse? The man that went upon the tree and gave his life. What I'm saying to you, it's truth that will set you free. The second thing I want to tell you is embrace the seed. Who is the seed, y'all? Jesus. If you see fruit in your life you don't like, you got too many seeds in your life. There's only one seed you need in your life. There are many seeds, Galatians 3:16, but there's only one seed. The word in Greek means sperma, but the word in Hebrew means zera, singular. Isn't it amazing? We're dirt and Jesus is the seed, and he wants to live in us. You see, when they thought they buried Jesus, you can't bury a seed. You can only plant it. It's coming up. And that same Spirit to raise Christ from the dead, he's living in you. And we're not going to be planted. We're coming up. Let me give you this. Embrace the seed. Did you know the seed is the source of life? The seed is the essence of life. The seed is the consistency of life. But there's one thing got to happen before that seed will bring forth fruit. It's got to die. Number 3, His grace is sufficient. His grace is what delivered us from past sin. His grace is what delivers from the power and presence of sin. His grace is what delivers us from the guilt of sin. His grace is what delivers us from sin reigning in our life. What I'm here to tell you today, grace has got to be more than a five-letter word. It's got to be more than a blue-eyed blonde. Grace is allowing God to do what you can't do. Grace is the present of His presence. Grace is the gift of God. Grace is trusting in the finished work of the cross. And let me give you the fourth one. Not only if we're going to be delivered, we got to hold on to truth. We got to embrace the seed. We got to know His grace is sufficient. Let me tell you what Titus says about grace. It says the grace, Titus 2:11-12, the grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. The word salvation means deliverance and means preservation. The grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation, that we would live, that we would deny ungodliness and we would be godly. That means you please God and don't please man. That means that you fear God and not man. That means that you are sincere. That means that your life in private is the same as it is in public. See, it's so important. And then it says to be sober. That means don't be in a situation that you're under influence, that you're not where you need to be. I didn't say this the first service, but I'm going to say it in the second service. Bud will make you dumber and dumber and dumber. It will never make you wiser. Listen to me. It says to be sober and live righteously in this present world. I'm not just trying to be funny. What I'm trying to tell you is that this is so important. Let me give you the fourth one. Not only if we're going to be delivered, we've got to hold on to truth, embrace the seed. His grace is sufficient. But here's one of the most important things. I want you to get this. You have got to experience the cross. Listen to me, y'all. I know the Holy Spirit gave me some revelation last night. I had never seen this before. When I was praying about the cross, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. The cross was designed for two. The front for me, the back for you. I'll never forget that when the Holy Spirit spoke that to my heart. I went to Peru. And I was on a mission trip there. And I had the little silver shop. I had them make me a cross. And I put Jesus on one side and John 3:16 at the bottom. And I put Wayne on the other side and I put Galatians 2:20. And every day I look at that cross, I said, Lord, thank you for dying for me. But today, don't let me run from the cross. Just focus on the cross. But some way, somehow, let me experience the cross. Listen to me. When you're going through something, who knows really where you've been? Those that have experienced what you have gone through. Listen to me. Listen to me. You will never know what it means to experience the cross until you experience it. You'll never understand what it means, grace, until you experience the cross. You'll never understand what it means to accept the new covenant until you experience the cross. You will never understand what it means to be a victorious and an overcomer and a conqueror and a spirit of obedience and humility come on you until you experience the cross. Jesus' last words on the cross. There were seven of them. I thirst. Great words. Behold thy son. Behold thy mother. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, you will be with me in paradise. But we're not going to be there long because we're going to my presence. But let me tell you what. Then he said, it's finished. But then in Matthew, I didn't know this till last night. In Matthew, Mark, and John, it says, he cried with a loud voice. And he gave up the ghost. Only Luke tells us what the loud voice was. You know what the loud voice was? Into thy hands do I commit thy spirit. This morning when I got up, I said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Today when I walked on this stage, I said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. When life squeezes the life out of you, you can say, into His hands I commit my spirit. When the outward challenges are pushing against the inner will, you can say, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. For when we commit ourselves to His hands, then there's going to be deliverance. Let me give you this last one. Hold on to truth. Embrace the seed. My grace is sufficient. Experience the cross. Here's the last one. Depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. There are many people that say, what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Most of the time we were taught, when you speak in another language, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I tell people, it's not speaking in tongues. It may be controlling your tongue. That is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. But I believe the greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I'm getting you out of here, okay? But I'm getting you out of here delivered, okay? I don't want you just to have a hosting experience with me. The greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power, that you will be a witness. You know what the word witness means? Martyr. You know the hardest thing to do is die. Die. Everybody wants resurrection, but nobody wants to die. What I'm saying to you today, and I want you to get this with all of your heart, and I want you to understand this. What God's speaking to our heart is that, will you follow me to the cross? Will you be willing to die? See, if I can get Wayne dead. Dee told me the other day, I don't like Wayne. She said, but I like Jesus. See, if I can get Wayne dead, then Christ is going to be alive. And then I saw a cross. The Holy Spirit gave me this. I saw it 42 years ago, and I remembered it. It was on a sign on the interstate. It was an empty cross. And you know what the three words at the top of it was? It's your turn. It's your turn. Don't run from it. Run to it. The tree makes the difference. I'm here to tell you His grace is sufficient. I'm here to tell you He will deliver you. Say, this is my day. My day of deliverance. If you came in here and don't have a relationship, don't leave without it. If you came here today and you're guilty, you can leave, pronounce this, quit it. If you came in here today and you have the power and the pleasure of sin, you're still struggling, you're still striving, you'll leave here today saying, into Thy hands do I commit my spirit. And then you will get a new spirit, and it will be a spirit of revelation. It will be a spirit of resurrection.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.